You are listening to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
Welcome back to another edition of the Fun Uncle Podcast.
What one?
I am your Fun Uncle Dude, joined by your Fun Uncle Brandon.
Mm-hmm. That's indeed. Fucking hell.
Your Fun Uncle Cooney could not be here. He's obsessing over a fucking football team with his family.
They are traditionally obsessed with that football team. It's Bills, a beautiful thing.
Bills Mafia. It's a fucking thing. They're one of the rowdier fucking fan bases. I get it.
They're about that life. Dude, you see the cookies?
Yes.
And they're like, nice, man. Like, if you saw a little 10-pack of those at Walmart, you'd be like, wow, those are really well put together.
Buffalo Bill, like, sugar cookies.
Straight up.
Well, we finna start this episode with a shot. Cheers, brother.
Jeez, dinks.
Let's see which one of our old asses bitches out.
Oh, this is so gross.
Oh.
Gross. Wow. It's nothing crazy. We're not over here drinking fucking crazy bullshit. It's just, what is the Blanco fucking Cuervo?
Yeah.
Boy.
It was in the house. I was like, oh, we should do shots, like, to open the show.
Truth be told, Brian's the one who always brings a bunch of booze over to the house, and Brian's not here, so
we had to make up for it.
Yeah. The free bottle from the technician at work.
So, you've heard, I'm sure you've seen, like, shit online, or maybe, like, little news clips, but...
Probably not, but let me know.
There was a point in time, I think it was earlier this year, when it was coming out that the... people in charge of the Trump campaign were basically, like, charging the people who donated, but every fucking month. And when you see something like that on TV, you're like, oh, that fucking sucks. Like, that's, you know, scummy.
Yeah.
But you don't really get a good context for, like, how it actually affects people. I experienced that. I helped an old white man, and as soon as he told me, he was like, first of all, like, super old. He was like 84, I think. Nice, but grumpy, and, like, when I explained the situation, like, you'll understand why. Like, he wasn't just, like, a grumpy old man to be a grumpy old man, but he needed help sending and finding emails. Because he had donated, and he didn't tell me, but just by going through his phone to help him, it was like, okay. So he had donated to Trump's campaign. And
they hit him with a monthly?
Yeah, so.
He thought he was giving them $50 one time, and he got hit $50 every day?
No, he thought he was giving them $3,500 one time.
Fucking hell.
Which is a good chunk of fucking money.
You're 85, I guess not.
But it turns out, and that was in October. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of getting in like a last little fucking...
little taste, bro, yeah, a little push.
You know, right before the election.
Get some.
And he found out after his phone got shut off and like his bank had to fucking hit him up that... the campaign was taking $3,500 from him every month.
This fucking guy.
But, and that was from October of last year.
How you not notice it?
Through October of this year.
Fuck. I can't wait to have the kind of account where that comes out every month.
And you don't notice?
For a year, and I'm just like, oh, shit, hey, what the, hey. Oops.
All right.
I must have clicked the wrong fucking button.
But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like he had the fucking money to fucking just chill on it.
Yeah.
Like, he was severely overdrawn.
Oh, no.
Like, about to lose his fucking house.
Gross, dude. That sucks, man.
But, yeah, so he just needed help. You know, he had emailed the campaign, and it was so, you know, like, I don't like either political party, so it, you know, it doesn't matter. But just reading, like, their responses to him was just so gross. And, like, it was, like, shitty, like, people with, like, short, shitty responses.
Welcome to the office world,
people
bro.
Just giving him shit. The fucking runaround.
The email world is fake. It's just, it's like Twitter to me in my mind, like the email world. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? It's like a fake little fucking world.
And like, he was such a good man. Like, he was even telling them he doesn't want a refund for all of it.
Oh.
Just from January through July of this year.
You know, for the mortgage.
And the just purposely giving him, like, you know, oh, you got to contact this person. And then that person's like, oh, I don't know why they told you to contact me. You should contact this person. But, you know, I helped him as best as he can to, you know, number one, retrieve his fucking email and send out, like, a bunch of different emails and print out some shit to take to the bank to show them. And he was also in the middle of trying to cash out a Bitcoin to make up for a little chunk of that. My man. But I was like, damn, like, that's... And, of course, like, they tell you, like, oh, it's, you know, it's buried in some fucking subsection of, like, the terms of agreement, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it was just like, man, like, that's fucking...
So that's what that looks like.
I couldn't imagine, like if you showed up, you know, like, you got this data entry job, you know, and the company's a little vague, and then you find out, like, as you're working, like, what you guys do... And at first you think, oh, that's cool, until you start to see, like, people getting ripped off by these people that you're working for. Like, I couldn't imagine being okay with, like, it would fuck with me.
Yeah, I mean, fuck. I have enough moments about all this kind of shit, about any job I've ever been in, like... What do they call it? Like moral ambiguities? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like shit you just kind of overlook where you're just like, oh, I guess that's cool. Because if you stand up for it, you might eat a little shit. It's that, I can't think of the fucking word. But, no, you know what I was thinking of when you were saying all that? I was like, we've been so lucky that anytime there's been any beef with any bank bullshit, it was a text away and that money was back like, 4 hours later. It shocked me, too, because I was like,
yeah.
Damn, is this going to be a while? Like, at the old apartment, we got, like, a bank card taken out of the mail, and then, like, a gang of money at, like, Bally's. Like, whoever took it out of the fucking mailbox went fucking ham at Bally's. Hope you had fun. Then, yeah, it was like almost, like, $4,000. And I was just like, hey, this wasn't me. And they're like, okay, we'll look into it. I was like, yeah, but, like, can you do it quick? And then, yeah, I mean, it was all automated answers. It wasn't even personal shit. And then they were like, here's a chunk. And then when we're done with the investigation, we'll put the rest back. And I was like, fuck. So they're not going to, you know. But whatever investigation they did, it was literally, like, the next day the whole shit was in there. I was like, okay. So I feel bad because I hear people at work are just, I talk to a lot of fucking strangers. Well, you'll come across that story. You know what I mean? We're like nightmare stories of fucking, oh, my card got taken. This happened. That was such a pain in the ass. I was like, damn, dude, that's happened to me twice. And I literally texted the fucking bank and they got the money back there like that day. So big up to Chase. Fucking. And that's another one. Even that's one. When me and Edgar used to go ham with all the old school fucking like banker war. You know, those kind of conspiracy-ish documentaries about that kind of shit and J.P. Morgan and what a kind of like a piece of shit he was, so to speak, you know? But then, you know, you watch another documentary that he like single-handedly pulled us out of the Great Depression with some of his personal loans to the country and shit. And you're like, see, you know what I mean? It's like, fuck, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Who knows any of these folks? But yeah, I've been lucky with all that shit. That sucks. Dude's worried about his mortgage on some fucking.
And like, to be honest, like that's why, you know, because it's like, it's empathy is the reason why I spent so much time with him, like, because I spent like a good like almost 40 minutes before I had to go to lunch. Yeah. And yeah, he asked. He was like, yeah, if I need any more help, I was like, yeah, just come and see me. I saw this funny, kind of sad fucking video on TikTok. it was this
kind of sad.
This waiter had like set up a phone. It must have been like on a table that he was yet to clear off, because it was definitely leaning up against something. And he stops this guy coming at him. I guess he came from the restroom. He was like, "Hey, buddy." He's like, "That's you and your girlfriend, and you guys' friends over there, right?" And he was like, "Yeah." He's like, "But that is your girlfriend that you're sitting next to?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well," he's like, "I just want to let you know that when you went to the restroom, her phone rang, and she was talking about like she can't wait to I can't wait to see you. He thinks it's a girl's trip, blah blah blah." And the guy was like, "What?" He was like, "It's none of my business, but I just want to let you know." And like walks off, and like you just see the guy like, "What the fuck?"
Digest.
Yeah. And I was gonna ask, like, as a server, like, do you have any, like, have you eavesdropped on any conversations like that?
Nothing like that. I mean, I've heard like just people talking crazy shit, and you just gotta like hold your tongue. Do you know what I mean?
What's the gnarliest thing you ever heard?
I mean, I've heard like similar to what you're talking about. Like, I've heard like girls at tables. Oddly enough, man, it's always guys who get like shit for that kind of behavior, like that conquer, fucking get that ass kind of shit. Yeah. Like, but in my personal experience, growing up in this town, it's girls mostly, to be honest. They do like the most gruesome shit, dude. I've seen mad girls like, and even start out the night like, "No, my God, I could never." And then 3 hours later, you're like, "Oh, no, I thought you said you were married." So hardcore. Gross. But yeah, that kind of stuff.
You haven't like overheard like, "I'll be there with the strap."
No, I've heard like fucking, because they clean up when you walk up, you know what I mean? Like, you can hear walking by, and then you come up because you got to like do something. There's some interactions that you just have to do. You can avoid a table if that's what it takes, but there, you want to get them to bill you. There's shit to do. And I've walked up and like seen like the horror in like a girl's eyes, you know what I mean? Just totally being berated the whole night. Like, that's the shit I feel bad for. It's like, damn, they didn't probably leave the house like, "Oh, I hope we're in real shitty mood in an hour." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you walk up and you just like seeing date nights go to hell. That sucks a little bit. Like, oh man. I've heard just me being me about like not so much politics shit, because that used to happen back a couple of years ago when like Trump was new. That would happen. There'd be people at the bar where like if Fox News was on, we had a regular there that's what the news he had on, and there's people that would come in and be like, "We will not sit down in this establishment. That's what you're gonna put on." We're like, "Get the fuck out of here, dude." Like, and it wasn't like a politically, like, it was just like, it was a very American vibe in my opinion. We were just like, "Yeah, he got here first, and that's what he put on. Fucking, do you want the barbecue or not? Like, what are we even talking about, bro? Do you want to know about the specials or the fucking channels? Like, what are we doing?" And just people putting up real hissy fits over, like, Fox being on. Like, shit like that before. And I was like, breathe. I don't really get involved in that. I've heard that stuff and been like, wow, people are dead ass about it. The only time I've ever wanted to, like, chime in on anything like your dude did with the fucking video, but without posting it, was, like, a family praying. And then hearing tables next to them like shit on them and being mean about it, and being, I wanted to be like, talk to them. Not like confrontational or nothing. And be like, "Why is that funny? What's funny about that? Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? What's actually funny about that?" And just go through it with them. It's super reasonable to take a second and fucking thank the creator of shit. You know what I mean? Like, if you think there's a design to this and there's creator, why not take a knee if you think that's the case? And why would that be fucking funny to somebody? Like, why is that worth shitting on someone for? I never understood that. Even before I was like, of like a believer, so to speak, I was still like, I never understood that.
It's kind just of shit. Stupidly
it's
disrespectful.
Yeah, it's like, I don't really get why that's fucking.
I've actually sat next to, this is at Norm's in fucking Van Nuys. And there was there was a an older black couple in the booth behind me, and it wasn't even late. It was like lunchtime, and the wife was like, she's like, "You want to say grace?" He was like, "Yeah," and so like, you know, he like started fucking like saying grace and stuff, and like I don't know why, but I stopped eating. I guess like I didn't even want to like have my knife and fork on the plate like disrupt them, you know?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, they do that kind of shit. What's that fucking show your fucking mom will put on every now and then? The John Quijones.
Oh,
what would you do?
What would you do?
Yeah, yeah, they like stage all those like diner scenes, like fucking. What would happen if you were there?
Can you believe my son's a faggot?
What would you do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Probably get the fuck out of there. I'm not that guy, bro. Unless there's like, I don't know. Again, it seems like such an American position, but unless you're like hurting someone, like, I don't know. Maybe I have ducked out on some shit that I probably should have been like a little bit more aggressive. Maybe got my nose involved, but it, if no one's getting hurt, I'm just like, hey, walk away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really, it's in the same vein. This thing, this conversation struck me. Fucking, I think it was Jocko and Joe Rogan, and they were talking about like if you're going to teach your kids any sort of martial arts, that jiu-jitsu's the one. You know, most street fights end up on the ground. Notice, you know, grappling is ideal when you're in the streets versus any sort of stand-up training because whatever, whatever, whatever. And Jocko, who's like a real killer, you know, Joe's probably a beast, but it's a different thing what my man in the military does. You know what I mean? And he was like, I teach my kids to fucking run. He's like, yeah, well, you know, stand up. He's like, if a confrontation's coming and you're both standing up, I tell you, just get the fuck out of there. This is a Navy SEAL, you know what I mean? Like a monster that's just like, yeah, I don't even teach my, like, just completely overriding the initial conversation about what's the best. And he's like, well, if you're in a position to just get the fuck out of the room, get out of the room. I always like that. He's like, yeah, if someone can grab you and all that shit, you know, that's violent in some pretty personal space you're not comfortable with, dude, fucking beat his ass. But initially, you're face to face with a human. Get the fuck out of there. Like, he just, it was like the most manly explanation of running away. Do you know what I mean? It was like a fully justifiable, like, just run. And in my, you know, it, there's something like counterintuitive about that when you've been on that like man shit, you know? But that was like a real life Spartan telling you, like, yeah, dude, you need to get the fuck out of the room. That's cool too. It's like, oh, yeah. That's also, I think that kind of came across Joe too. In that moment, he was like, oh, yeah, you can just get the fuck out of the room if that's the case. Funny.
Joe's like, you're going to want a crescent kick.
Row, row. Dude, you know what's funny about that fucking show? I haven't listened to like one full episode since the move, and I thought it wouldn't. I wonder how many people are like me where they just, you know, I've been listening to Joe since fucking day one.
Listen to Ticker?
That's the only one that I actually sat through and like I had Spotify. Well, my fucking phone is always full, so I got to clip shit off all the time, and Spotify is the top of the list. And it didn't bother me to take it off. I wasn't like, oh, but now I won't be able to see Joe. Like, I didn't give a shit. I turned it off. Fucking, I don't care. Didn't bother me. And I was like, damn. And I'm a big fan. So I was like, hey, I wonder how many other big fans were just like, ah, fuck it. Like, that one obstacle was enough to drive you away.
Your thick-ass Joe Rogan neck.
Fucking Chappelle. Yo, man, fucking, all the boys were talking about how he's getting shit from the fucking trans community. I was like, I thought Sticks and Stones was fucking way gnarlier. Worse. I was like, this was just like a rough explanation. Then he goes in his personal story with that like, Daphne, and it was like, okay, dude, like, really? I was like, if you guys are trying to cancel his ass, that for that second, what was it? I don't know, out of the series, his Netflix series, but that Sticks and Stones joint was way harder. It was
a fourth or third.
Boy, yeah.
But
my man does work.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, you know, it's like the people who are trying to fucking give him shit are definitely those people that just read the headline.
He explains that too. You know, in within the act, he goes, you know, there's some folks, and he even points out how it's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the repeaters. It's like, oh, you don't have like a thought about this. Like, you just, and you know what's so funny about it, dude? This kind of information, well, not this, but like the stuff that's most argued about in political science and politics in general, that kind of stuff is so heavy duty. It's like, you're talking about talking points, dude. There's a whole backstory to each one of your talking points that you have to like drill down into. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so fucking much to think that you can understand this kind of shit. There's a quote from a physicist that's he was like, it's so hard to get a new crop of these guys because it takes a legit fucking lifetime just to get the basics down. And then by the time you've got like the grounds in, the shit part is you go through all the work to figure out how this works. And then when you figure out how this works, you end up going, oh, so we don't know how this works. And then you're 85. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, to sort of like to press forward in some of these big, robust fucking things. It's like you have to spend a lifetime just to get intellectually familiar and honest with the subject before any of this can even be discussed. And we're over here fucking chopping heads off, calling people evil on some nonsense. It's crazy. People. I don't know, dude. I don't really fuck with my phone that much. And I do feel the difference. People talk about it all the time. People take, like, they unplug, throw their phone in the safe for a fucking week. I don't do all that, but I definitely just don't click the fucking icon, man. You know what I mean? Like, just don't do it. I don't have Twitter or Facebook. I never had any of that shit anyways. I just have Instagram, and it was, for the most part, it's just my kids' shit. And then I got the Thief on the Cross stuff that I haven't really messed with in a long time. Because even then, flipping through that kind of stuff, even the stuff you're into will get, like, it'll start drawing it out of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, ugh. It's funny.
Yeah. I only really fuck with Twitter and Instagram a bit.
I think the pendulum is swinging back pretty quick on all that. Everybody's super worried about what the effects of this kind of like new landscape is on humankind and psyche and whatnot. And it's like, fucking, I think we're going to get keen to it real quick that this is a bad idea.
I can't remember if it was this week or last week. But fucking Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp went down.
It all down. Went down, right? Yeah.
Yeah. People were fucking...
All the guys on StockTwits.
Losing their shit.
Because that's the only... Yeah, I'm on fucking StockTwits more than anything, to be honest. Like, I check in on that shit. That's the board. They put up the articles, different tweets. You know, I don't need to be on Twitter. StockTwits gives me the edge that I'm looking for. I don't need anything else from Twitter except stock shit. But yeah, no, that was I saw that when like, I checked in. There was a bunch of like, hey, Facebook down over there. Like, what the fuck? Facebook down. Okay.
But yeah, like fucking.
Does it even matter? What the fuck do they do? That shit can disappear forever. What? How many? Well, see, it's not like, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with it. There are marketplaces and different kind of ways to get your shit out there. So it would take away a big giant avenue for that. But like, isn't Amazon already a big enough? Like, don't they kind of handle enough of the small business if you can work your shit through your little Etsy fucking shop?
For sure.
Yeah, Facebook, the whole thing can go, and nothing, what would really fucking happen?
There would be like a small fallout for like a month, and then...
Of what?
You wouldn't even fucking have noticed.
People wouldn't know how to fucking feed their rage. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Think of that. There would be no outlet for all your bullshit and to get fed all your nonsense and your division that you love to be mad. Fucking do something with your fucking life, bro. You'll have no fucking time to be mad. The way I see some people mad at shit, I'm just like, what do you do? There's no fucking way you're out there kicking ass at life. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no way. Because that's hard. It's hard to fucking win. And you have just time to be just mad and this is what you do? Fucking wow. You're either my hero or the saddest fucking thing ever.
I mean, it's like how, like, I finally, after, like, years and years of, like, being mad at God, kind of like started to let that go because it was like, I'm fucking old. Like, this is stupid now. You know, it's like, let that fucking anger go.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, at some point you don't fucking even remember like why you were mad in the first place.
You hear that across the board too, like sibling fucking hatred for decades. And you're like, why do you hate Aunt Sally? And she's like, I don't even fucking remember.
Right? But fuck that bitch.
Yeah, how many times have you heard that? Best friends. When's the last time you talked to Sandy? I don't even give a fuck. Why? I don't know.
I don't even and care if she's alive.
And that's the end. And you're like, oh, okay. You just have that pocket of hate stuck in your fucking spirit. That's cool. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Nah, being angry, dude, there's some of the greatest, like, just general information that I think have come across in that, like, the self-help like era of, you know what I mean? Like literature, how like that whole book section came about and finding out how to help yourself and that whole only you can control your like side of it. You know what I mean? Like you can't control what fucking people do, but you can control like how you react to it.
Yeah.
Like that shit is brilliant, dude. One of the quick ones that I remember from like anger fucking classes when I was a kid was that second breath. I still utilize that shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, if you know that your initial reaction, like if you know yourself, it's like, yo, historically, my initial reaction is fucking wretched. So go ahead and do yourself, fuck people, do yourself a favor. Take that second breath. Take a step back.
Get your Daniel Tiger on.
Yeah, man. Fucking Daniel Tiger. Barney, they've been
count
singing
to four.
This. Yeah, man. Damn, how many times we sing that shit to Bobby? Hey, Bob, you are not counting to four. She'd be super fired up. And we're like, you don't listen to Daniel fucking Tiger, kid. He's been begging you to count to four about this. And you're just over there huffing and puffing. And count to four.
Daniel Tiger's been cutting promos on you for years.
He's a good man.
The memes that came out of Instagram being down were fucking hilarious.
How so? People getting creative?
Yeah, like, you know, people are posting like, now what am I supposed to do with this picture of my salad?
That is funny.
Oh.
Instant photogram.
But like, yeah, all the fucking influencers were, they were like terrified. Like there's their fucking, their revenue stream.
Bro, it's a gang of people who get paid for like no real reason. I mean, it is what it is, dude. I'm a big, you know, capitalist market guy. So it's like, hey, if you could make $3 million a fucking year streaming fucking Grand Theft Auto or whatever the fuck that kid, you know what I mean? Whatever's going on. If that's what's up, cool. But I don't want to hear shit if that just disappears one day. Because if shit hits the fan for our nation, shouldn't stuff like that be like top notch? Be like, hey, we need to allocate some of this bread towards something actual. Ah, see, but then that's like fucking.
You'd be like, but I'm really good at wearing a bikini and selling fucking tummy tea that'll make you shit.
I mean, bro, like you got to think of that. When you hear about all the angst and all the like a lot of anti-American like young people. And you're like, dude, we live in a place where you can get paid by just having a phone.
Yeah.
Just having your phone, bro. Like you have a phone. Make enough people pay attention to you and other people will pay you because they know people are paying attention to you. That's the kind of place we live in, bro. Like, fucking stop it. It's crazy. I don't know. I'm trying to go back to the sticks, man. We've been watching that show. Not any, like, survivalist show, but that fucking...
Oh, the bio.
The budget.
Yeah, the...
Budget lake house.
Yeah, budget lake house.
Motherfucking finding house on the water for $150, son. I'm like, let's go. Teach me to fish. Just go get 90 pounds of rice and figure it out from there. You have 90 pounds of rice and a river full of fish to figure out how to get it out from here. That's it.
Say you were in your 80s. Single, never had kids, never met Lizzie.
Shit.
And you hit a fucking 10-teamer. And you basically won enough money to where, like, you know your time's, you know, your clock's fucking ticking.
I'd be
fucking
so sand mad. Running out.
But you have enough to, for a good 5 to 8 years, live out where you want to live because that's where you're going to die. Where are you choosing? Like, it doesn't have to be, like, specific city, state, but, like, what type of landscape?
For sure, some sort of running water. You know what I mean? With that kind of bread, something small. I'd want to give away a ton of that. I'd be like, damn, I'd be furious. I'd be like, dude, no shit. This is when you get freedom money in your fucking 80s, dude. What a douchebag. That's like a curse. I'd be that pain in the ass crying about it. Yeah, I would definitely want to die somewhere sick. You know what I mean? With just enough Wi-Fi. And, Yeah, there's enough. There's enough, like, places that are wildlife and not at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, you can get enough. You can get a good taste of both worlds.
I would want to go back to a place like Oakland, New Jersey, where we grew up. And, you know, maybe not there specifically, because I wouldn't want, even though our neighbors weren't, like, close, like, you know, I could definitely throw a ball at their house, you know?
Yeah.
Because I would want more, you know, a lot more space. But I just remember, like the backyard was a good size, and then it went down, and it was just, like, hills and trees. Yeah. And like it just,
I've seen those lots where it's like, it's not your shit, but that's just what's back there. And you're like, it's basically our backyard.
Yeah. The forest was our fucking backyard.
That's dope.
And I just remember, like, in the fall, you know, like it's turning now, just how fucking pretty, like the orange and browns and yellows. The
seasons.
Yes. Like, yeah, all real, that. Man. It's super fucking real.
It's super real.
And like, I would just want a place like that, you know, because even in the fucking summer, it was cool. It snowed in the fucking winter.
Yeah.
Like, not a fucking crazy amount except for our last winter there. But, you know, it's definitely fucking doable.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe when you're old, maybe if I didn't live here for a long time, I'd want to come back here. Because I do remember, because I was in a bad spot when I left here to go to California. And when I came back, I was in a better spot. Not doing too much better, but just better than when I left. And it was, I think my first visit back was like a couple of years. It was a minute, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid going from Las Vegas to California, when you're going down the 15 and you get into like Victorville and you make that big old curve and it gets more greener and that California kind of crisp air. The difference, like in my opinion, always happened right around there from that desert air to that California air.
Yeah.
And I remember loving that when I was little, being like, man, California's just the best. And then having that switch when I was driving from California to Nevada, like getting that desert air and seeing that like crisp coldness. I think it was right around this time. It must have been, because my sister and my best friend and my mom all have like their birthdays are like the same day. So that was probably my first visit back. So it was probably super nice. Well, it was super nice. I just don't know the date. But so all that to say, maybe if I was 84 and I've been in some other fucking town, maybe I would want to come back here and lay it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just for that. This is where I've been the most.
Like up on the hill, McDonald Ranch. Like,
fuck where? Yeah, dude. If I got that kind of crazy bread, just I like people, dude. So if I was that old, if I was mobile, I might even get like some fucking one of those like downtown, go to the Ogden and just live in a fucking,
on a floor.
Yeah, like for real, dude. I remember tripping on those towers, man. This guy, he didn't even, you don't even park your car. It's just valet. Like where you live has valet. There was three things about that guy's place. I don't know. It was like a party and some chick like had the key. Like it was on some like fucking 6 degrees of fucking Kevin Bacon shit. Like I did not know whose place it was, but I knew a person who knew a person who knew a person, and I was in there. And it was something towers, blue, I don't know what it's called, but it was badass. And the car had to get, and the first little, you walk in, and then across from like the lobby was like a 7-Eleven that was just in there. And that, like, I was pretty young for this, so it was like, all tripping me out. Yeah, there's like a little market like in their fucking building. Oh, and I was like, what the
fuck? I've actually seen like apartments and condos like that. Where it's like they rent out the bottom floor,
like a like legit stores. Market. Yeah, yeah, I was like, bro, it wasn't like a little fucking vending machine, you know, like storage room. So everyone, like, I was like, so where do you park? And they're like, oh, you just valet. And I was like, so when you live here, you just fucking go downstairs and your car's there. And they're like, yep. And I was like, that's fucking crazy, man. Like that blew my mind. And then I walked in and saw this fucking market, and I was like, he doesn't even have to leave the fucking building to go get milk. Like, it was crazy. And then the third thing was the way that this fool's floor was, it was so soft. It was like laying on the most comfortable bed, but it was like living room floor. Like, you bounced. Do you know what I mean? I never felt a floor like that. It wasn't carpet. It was like his whole fucking floor was like bed. It tripped me out. Oh, and there's a fucking fourth thing. The mirror turned into a TV. That was the first time I saw it. Like, if you're pissing, like the mirror in front of you, you could click a thing and then in front of you was like, and then it just went into like a TV screen. So yeah, I was like, dude, what the fuck? So if I'm 84 with a gang of money and I'm longing for Vegas air, I might go that route. Fuck Summerlin, dude. I'm trying to be down and just, I love people. I'm just going to drink myself my mornings out. I can sleep all afternoon.
Take whatever medications you need.
Right? Wake up and
keep a watch.
Do it again until it's over. I don't know. This whole thing goes by in such a fucking flash. The older I get, the more I'm like, dude, I don't know why anyone tries at anything. This whole thing's just over with.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you know, the older I fucking get, it's like, you look at things and you're like, has my ship sailed? Should I keep going? Has
my ship sailed? Yeah. Bro, I can't watch fucking pro sports without that thought crossing my mind. Every time they show these people, I'm like double their fucking age now. Like, because I guess that's what it was. You think you're like in this space and then it hits you that you're not. I think that's what happens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have all this youthful fucking energy and you got all these plans and all this stuff, all these little checklists perhaps, but, and then I don't know what happens. I guess it's a lot of people's birthday. People have like really tough 30s, and you know, when you turn 30 or 40, you always hear people all fucked up about that.
Yeah.
Oh, dog, it's fucking good. I know a gang of people the day they turned 30, they were like fucking destroyed about it. Because when you're 15 and you got the world by the balls, you're like, bro, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be running shit.
Yeah.
And then by the time you're 30, you don't have anything. You're like, oh, fuck, man. I guess is 30 old? That's why guys like Gary Vee are important. He's like, no, not at all. You're still a tiny little person. You're a tiny little kid, bro. Go get it.
Fucking McAfee just turned like 34. Yeah, he's fucking killing it.
Yeah. He's got I feel like, I mean, first and foremost, he put together a squad. Like, that can't be, like, discounted. Do you know what I mean? Like, he put together the group that made it. And you see that a lot. There's another guy. Have you ever fucked with Patrick Bet-David?
He does, no, like, but I've heard of him. Yeah.
He's fucking sick, man. He's got, like, a cadence that I feel that people will get annoyed with. But I enjoy him. He's how, like, I found fucking Michael Francis, that mobster guy that came. That was the first time I knew he was doing social media shit. And that's what put me on to him maybe a couple years ago, maybe. And I fuck with, he's got a crew, and it's a real Pat McAfee-ish, you know, like he's got a group of dudes and they put together content. They're content creators. You look at like Crowder, the Turks, you know what I mean? Like you got to have a fucking crew that gives a shit. That is first and foremost. Motherfucking 34 and you have the ability and the trust in folks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus, it's like we've talked about it before. There's like instances in your youth of like super experiences that kind of like paved the way for what you think is real. What I mean by that is like talking about like stature and like getting up a ladder in some demeanor. Like we talk about our niece, her experience through her schooling and being able to like sing on the Grammys and like be in recording studios with real fucking people and getting little residual checks and like those little things, you know what I mean? Like those little things, those experiences are things that just open up the, now it's real. It's a lot fucking difficult. It's so much harder for a kid who just dreams in their closet with no support. Family doesn't even fucking know they can sing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And they just do it quietly in the locked garage. You know what I mean? And their dreams just, and they're locked in a journal. It's different, dude. That person attaining high-end shit, it's so much more difficult because that reality is simply not a reality to them. But those other things, and I mention all that to be like, Pat McAfee, just, he was successful fairly young, dude. Like, he found something that he kicked ass at. Like, he had a lot of those, what I call them earlier, to like super experiences where it's like, I can do this. You know what I mean? I think he's...
I mean, fuck, he was in the NFL for 8 years. And he's only 34 now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, dude's pulling it off. I love seeing that kind of like energy do well too.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's another like pendulum swinging shit. Like assholes aren't going to be able to reach top level shit anymore. People are over that. You know what I mean? Especially, dude, if you're super bummed out about Trump administration shit and you're over that, like maybe that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, maybe that personality shouldn't exist in the public forum at all from either side. None of that bully bullshit. You see it everywhere. Yeah. It's fucking annoying. Dave said that a couple of times in that special. You're fucking annoying. Just super matter of fact about it. Like, yeah, dude, that was the Me Too movement and how it got handled.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid. It was white. Like, aw. But I get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, aw. I get it, though. And why can't you be like that, dude? If you're a black person and someone's telling a real fucking funny joke about black or loud-ass black folks, why can't you be like, that happens? You know what I mean? Yeah. Be like, that's fucking funny. Damn it. We were talking about that on the thread with the boys. We were talking about how in most cases, like things that are called out as racism, it's almost always mostly just somebody taking an easy stab at a colored person. I don't think there's any like psychology behind it. Like, I think my race is superior. I think it's just, hey, here's an easy way to really piss off the guy that cut me off. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're mad at a Mexican guy? There's a couple of words that you know will fuck with him.
Fucking wetback.
Dude, you're mad at a fucking some black dude, so you hear about something. There's words that'll cut to his fucking soul, and it's like, that's available.
Fucking.
The fucking shitty part is there isn't any fucking, there's no word that cuts. Call me a honky, bro. I'll fucking laugh at you. You know what I mean? I'd be like, okay. What was the one that they said? Fucking colonizer. It's like, I was born in the 80s, dude. What the fuck are you talking about? Colonizer? I mean, I get it. Like, I understand why.
They weren't your 80s colonizers.
Stop it, bro. I just. But yeah. The. It gets too muddy too quick.
You know what's funny is, like, there really isn't anything you can call a Mexican that's going to, like, set them off. At least that white people can do. Hmm. Like, a beaner, like, whatever. Wetback, yeah. Whatever. You know? But fucking other Mexicans or other fucking Latin people calling a Mexican like a Honduran or a Salvadoranian, it's like, oh, those are fighting words.
I knew, you know, I've seen that, like, confusing, like, Asian shit as, like, calling someone Filipino, like, Thai or some shit. They're like, hey, how dare you? And it's like, really?
Trust me, I get Filipino all the time. Filipino.
That is fucking hilarious.
Filipino, Samoan, Hawaiian.
I get the Hawaiian.
Or just Asian.
I get the Hawaiian. That makes a bit of sense. That's so funny.
All the fucking time.
No one
mistakes me. Like, you Filipino? Me. No.
Nope.
Not even close.
No one mistakes me for nothing. Pretty obvious.
So, English or Irish? And you're like German.
Right.
What's the biggest compliment anyone's ever given you? Where you're like, jeez. Where like it felt good. You're like, oh, fuck yeah.
I mean, there's been so many over the years. I don't know. I remember the one time talking about like, I don't know. It felt like it was... I talk about this like external feeling, like there's your own like consciousness that everybody's super aware of and it almost goes by and the dialogues are in your mind that you almost don't even know are happening. But then there's also this extra layer, this external thing that I think is like Holy Spirit, if you know what I mean, that tags you when something's happening and he wants your attention, he wants you to have your attention on it. And one time I was having a conversation, one of the first conversations I ever had with Pastor Dave, and there's this, like, I guess fairly, like, prestigious, like, apologetics school, Biola. It's, apologetics based, and it's where, like, a lot of high-end motherfuckers go. And we just had, like, a regular conversation, and he just came out and was like, so when you graduated Biola? What year was that? And I was like, what? I didn't even graduate high school, son. So that was it. It wasn't like someone complimenting me, but it was just like an inference about he assumed something amazing. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, shit. That's what you think? You think that's I can do that? And that was the first little taste. And that's what I mean about moments, because then after that, when I was in rooms with people that had the fucking degrees and the bullshit going on, and I was like, damn, dude, like, I don't, maybe because of that moment that struck me, I didn't feel as much of that sort of like, who the fuck do I think I am? I'm not no one. It doesn't, they're not going to listen to my shit. And it's like, nope, you know what? Every time I've murdered those fucking rooms, and it's always gone well. And I think a bit of that confidence comes from that little piece of time where he just assumed, you know. People have always been fucking nice. I've been pretty lucky. I can think of a million things that broke my heart. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just ugly shit. Like, that's something I don't think people really... Fucking words are gnarly, man. There's so many things growing up that I didn't agree with. Like, little, I don't know, idioms, I guess? Fucking, like, don't judge a book by its cover. I'm like, that's horseshit. Like, I was like, I tell the kids, I was like, fucking judge the fucking... How else?
Like, I guess judge
the fucking book by the cover, but also... Just be have the adventure in mind that books can also shock you.
Yeah.
Books can blow your mind. But for sure, judge the fucking book by the cover. Fuck that. And one of the things, what were we just talking about? Because there was another idiom that always comes up that was related to what we were talking about. And I was like, that's bullshit. But I forgot what we were even talking about now. Whoops. Nothing.
You were...
Back the tape up.
You were talking about Pastor Dave thought you went to some school. And something. That turned into judging a book by its cover.
Yeah, because
you don't want, you know, you tell the kids, like, or you tell the kids they should.
Yeah, there's another thing. There's another little idiom thing that I was always like, that's fucking the dumbest shit I've ever fucking heard. And it's like, world renowned, you know what I mean? Like, everyone heard that when you're little, and even when I was a kid, I was like, that sounds like bullshit. Aesop Rock has one fucking I'm not gonna remember this now either. Damn it. It's great too.
Was it wait 30 minutes after eating this one?
That's bullshit too. It's all nonsense, kids.
Like, I was telling, like, my mom and Lizzie, and because, like, Bobby's said, like, you know, she can't see some words sometimes. And it's like, you know, the first thing is, because you put the screen right in front of your face. Like, that's not a thing. That's really not a thing, especially not anymore.
Dude, your fucking family's got a gang of those, bro.
It's annoying.
It's Mexican voodoo shit here. I'm going to get, like, racist and fucking weird. This is my family, so do fuck it. You guys. Like, but there is some funny-ass Mexican shit out there from, like, a white boy perspective that just... Straight voodoo, where it's like, well, if you do this, this will happen. I'm like, you're dead fucking serious when you say that, huh?
I just want to
so
say,
many of them. It's like,
I just want to say, Mexican bullshit. Ladies, it's okay to put your purse on the floor because that's a fucking weird one.
Purses on the floor, dude. There's a bunch, and you know what? Maybe I'm being an asshole. Maybe they're not. No, because I know a couple Mexican families, and it is universal. There's a couple. No one ain't half the battle. Oh, that's the Aesop Rock one. No one ain't half the battle. That's a bullshit quip written by some asshole. You could know what you are, still getting stoned in your car, not doing shit, waiting for something. Just about, like, knowing's half the battle. It's like, yeah. No, knowing's the easiest part. Now you actually have to do shit. Because you could know what you are, still getting stoned in your car, not doing shit. Damn, I used to know all his fucking words. It's so crazy, the shit that, like, goes out of your head.
Who do you think you've forgotten the most?
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
For real?
Bro, I knew every fucking word of all of that shit. I'm dead fucking... You call my sister or anyone that knew me in, like, eighth grade. I'm talking about every fucking word. And you kept up? No. I put on shit in the car every now and then.
I meant like you.
Through the years?
No. I meant like when the song's playing, you're rapping. Are you keeping up?
Oh, fuck yeah. That's the funnest part, man. How fun is it to fucking finish a whole fucking verse of anybody? Anyone's super fun, but Bone Thugs and Harmony, fucking Busta Rhymes. Like, there's some of them, like, when you get it all right on time, you're just like, that was amazing. That was so fun. It's like those motherfuckers that watch people cut soap on fucking on YouTube. It's like getting a Bone Thugs and Harmony verse right. Getting a Busy Bone verse right, like, perfectly. I mean, dude, there's still... I've had kids and been married. I have a beautiful family, and there's still a part of me that's like the most fulfilling thing ever is getting a Bone Thugs and Harmony verse right. But yeah, That's all gone. And there's a ton, too, because fucking, you know, YouTube is pretty fucking clever. And I'll search for shit, and they'll have, like, just your little auto mixes. And one of their little suggestions will be something from a fucking billion years ago. Like, it happened with Lizzie yesterday, because I bring up Slug and Aesop Rock and Idea and that whole little era of fucking little indie rap, internet rap. But Sage Francis came on off of one of those little fucking mixes, and it was like, man, for how much I talk about those other three, it would seem like Sage had nothing to do with me growing up. And it was like, that guy was fucking instrumental. Do you have any of those where it's like you forgot how big it, like you feel bad almost, where you're like, damn, I talk about Aesop Rock all the time and Idea and how much I loved Atmosphere, and we talk about Brother Ali on the podcast, and it's like, damn, I never bring up Sage. That's crazy. His song came on one of the mixes yesterday, and a whole, like, decade flooded in my mind of, like, fuck, dude, you used to listen the fuck out of this, dude. Like, talking about, like, go into your room, just the typical shit you heard about, like, 60s kids, how they take their record in, they smoke pot in the room and listen to the fucking Stones over yeah. and over and over. I was one of those kids, dude. I would smoke pot. I would smoke in the garage, and I'd run to my room, and I would listen to these songs over and over and over. And Sage, he had that style, just super, super duper poetic, and the wordplay just brilliant. And it was fun listening to Sage Francis, Idea, Aesop Rock. Like back in those days, especially when they were super esoteric. Now it's a little bit more straightforward. You listen to Aesop Rock, and if you can figure out the actual words he's saying. If they're written in front of you, it's not that like, what the fuck's he talking about? But back in the day, it was like fucking Rosetta Stone shit. But it was fun, you know what I mean? I really do think it was training for the kind of shit that I do with like historical context with like scripture and different kind of like ancient documents and manuscript and that kind of shit, because it's the same muscles. You got words, you're putting them together, you're making sense of them, you're using them across different kind of categories, you know what I mean?
Like, you have to really, like, fucking pay attention to it.
I really do think my obsession with music and lyrics, not just rap, but I remember talking about one of those, like, a good, like, a compliment. I remember, I've told you this before, when I was in, like, a reading club when I was a kid, and we, like, fucked up and put me in, like, not an adult one, but a bigger one. And one of the books was Jurassic Park, was part of the book club. And I returned it to the book club lady, and she was like...
Like the full fucking Michael Crichton
one? The big one, yeah. And she was like, dude, you read this? And it was like a week, you know what I mean? And they were tripping on that. And I remember thinking like, wow, that's fucking cool. And like, I've always been like obsessed with words. And you know what makes me excited? I see that in Eli, bro. Do you see him getting excited about words?
Yeah.
How he's like putting together how the letters
wants to spell
and the
now.
Noise. Yeah, man. I was like, dude, please be obsessed with words like your dad. Because, I mean, I'm such a prick about myself. It's like, dude, I always think, man, turned up a certain direction. Like, there could have been a lot of things. I mean, future's always wide open, and the landscape for putting your own content and being a thing is super available now, so I don't like trying to like discount myself or like what you say is my ship sailed. Yeah. I don't think my ship sailed, but I just think the sails are beaten and my son's got a fresh fucking setup. And it's like, damn, dude, please don't waste your fucking bullshit like your dumbass fucking dad.
Fucking utilize that wind.
Bro, yeah, man. Talking about you come from pedigree where people mistaken you for like fucking graduate school shit. Like, you know what I mean? I get those emails about being. Like, the quotes, and, oh, you were notated for blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I didn't even go to fucking college, man. Those kids are not going to fuck this up. Poor kids, dude. They're so fucked.
Right?
Do you know what I mean?
So much pressure.
They're so fucked. Poor babies. Well, you know what? You know what happens when you give them too much freedom? Me happens. And that's such a bad idea.
Then they fucking listen to fucking a rap group that they can't remember in 20 years.
Fucking hell, yeah, that's what I focused on. Think of that. When all those fucking Asians are stuck in the fucking room dusting up the history books and whatever the fuck it takes to get the grade, because that's what was the focus in the house. Music and art was the focus. So I mean, dude, we had that same conversation with Bobby when she was very, very, very little. Her understanding of, like, the Pokemon world was pretty, like, intense, dude. She knew the types, what their powers were, what their like not powers were, what the like the kind of people that could fuck them up the most. You know what I mean? Like if a land one fights a this one, then it's got this much power against it. Bro, she understood all of that and knew the details of the characters super young. And me and Liz were like, dude, what if like this same like energy and bandwidth went towards fucking physics, bro? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's how these kids, you know what I mean? We joke and, you know, it's a joke. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but those Asian houses have that kind of like, this is the fucking focus in the house, dude. Instead of Brandon breaking down fucking Aesop Rock fucking lyrics, like, where the fuck is that going to get you, dude? Like, you should have been breaking down something because the bandwidth was there. Multi-layered understanding, fucking, it's like, it could have been utilized to do a lot better for the world than fucking lyrics. And that's what we did with Eli, though.
Yeah.
Because he's knee-deep in the dinosaur game, bro. He'll bro your fucking... You put up a picture of a dinosaur, and he'll go, Pharmacymopanix, and you're like, ha-ha, what a cute kid. And then you Google Pharmacymopanix, and then you see that it's exactly what the fuck you were holding in your hand. You're like, whoa, that's the craziest shit. When he does stuff like that, I'm like, yo, that's not a Triceratops, dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's the big four that every fucking buddy knows. He's well beyond that. He's starting to classify them. The Jurassic, Cretaceous, like he's trying, he's getting into like the other shit. And he's moving out of dinosaurs. Now he's all on fucking sea creatures. Now he knows every single one of those. Yeah, no, he's gnarly, man. And I don't know, we joke about that too, but the older he gets, the more we're like, ooh, shit. Like that spectrum talk, you know what I mean? His super OCD, putting everything in a line. His eye contact. Like, there's a couple of the big check marks for people, you know, the pamphlet stuff. Nothing diagnosed professionally by any means, but, you know, the memes. The Facebook posts that are like, hey, is your kid this, 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 and this? Maybe they're on the spectrum for that. And we're always like, oh, shit. That's a pretty pretty spot-on description of my son. But, I don't know. We don't have any worry about any of that. I mean, even if it is, it's not on a non-functional. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen... Yeah. I think a lot of I don't think the science or the diagnosis is bullshit, but I think it definitely gets aired out amongst lazy parents as a as an excuse, like just a blanket.
Like, yeah, that's what he's shitty because of this.
Yeah, yeah, his shortcomings are this. It's definitely not me, and it just as a parent to all parents, it's all our faults. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I sincerely feel like that. That whole the fucking. The village, the tribe, or the village raises the dude, fuck that, dude. Fuck your village, bro. Your living room and the dinner table is all that matters, dude. Fuck the village. I don't buy any of that shit,
dude. Your fucking examples of like the ultimate compliment that you've been paid are way different than mine.
Let's hear it.
So I was with a friend recently, and. I was told by her that I eat pussy like a lesbian.
That is a nice one.
And I was like...
So do you mean like educated and feminine or just like, what do you mean? How do you mean that? I would need more.
Like,
I need more about that.
She stopped me to look me in the eye and was like, I'm not just saying that. You eat pussy like a lesbian.
Girl, I put in work.
Right?
I'm an artist. You don't understand.
I was in the fucking batting cage all day, baby.
I don't believe those. Do you know what I mean? Like my own little fucked up self-esteem or whatever. Anytime anyone's ever been like, said anything about any performance shit, I'm always like, eh, you have to say that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, why wouldn't you? Like, why would you? Like, who comes out of their mouth and just goes, that was fucking whack? You know what I mean? Like, I've never, I just, and not just sexual shit, just anytime people are just in general like, that was amazing. I'm just like, was it? You're really good at that.
Well, that's kind of how I felt like when I would get those letters when I had my fucking poems published.
Right.
And it's like, Because you read the first one and you're like, oh, that's fucking cool. Like, they like my fucking poetry.
Right.
And then fucking the next one is like, it's the same fucking words.
It's the same letter with a different stamp at the bottom.
Yeah. Like, I was like, it was like at some point I was like, I don't even fucking care if she's lying. That shit was fucking cool. She wants to come on the wrestling podcast, that's by the way.
That's so nice of you. The wrestling? She watches wrestling?
Yeah, that's how we met.
Oh, man, a girl that watches wrestling. There's something special about that.
In the industry. And not in the wrestling industry. But she has messed around with some wrestlers.
Ooh. Will she talk that shit? Probably not.
Probably not.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Shot. I'm going to ask anyway, so prepare your rebuttal.
Fuck. Dude, fucking last year I turned 40. And normally, you know, it's a big deal.
40 is a real
it's a big even number. Right? But having a fucking stroke ruined that shit. So 41 about to be lit.
That's so fucking funny. Couldn't really go ham when I turned 40. Thought I might drop dead. So yeah. This year, though, shit's going crazy.
Newliest on life.
Right? A Vegas fucking birthday, bro. I wish Willie was in town.
Me too.
He's a monster.
Yeah. My cousin Manuel might come out.
Ooh, I actually really enjoy that, man. That's funny.
Yeah.
He's fun. He went to fucking PWG with us once,
yeah,
right? Yeah. He's old. Yeah, I always have a good time. Him, what was the fucking brother's name?
Sam.
He's a little broody. Is that Sam? The skinny one, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a little mad.
Yeah.
He's really fucking funny, though.
I don't know if he's always mad or just always fucking drunk.
I know that game. Yeah. He seems a little pissed off. Super funny, though. Everything he says is, like, mean but kind of funny. I'm like, do the people in the house like me enough to laugh out loud? Do you know what I mean? Like, he puts you in those situations where it's like, if I laugh, are other people going to hate me?
Fuck you laughing, white boy.
Right? I'm waiting for one of those. Oh, my gosh, dog. Trust me. That first run around with your fucking family, I was like, yeah, this is about as far. It was one of my extremes. Is the long hair, cut off fucking shorts, like everything. It was about the, I hate talking like this, but it was probably like the whitest. Do you know what I mean? Like of all the little like looks, like of all the ways.
First time I saw you
could do it.
You were wearing your fucking, they're like grayish khakis with a fucking flannel shirt and your fucking green cardigan and your long hair and your glasses. I was like, I love this cardigan. Fucking guy? Where the fuck is Lizzie? This guy?
Right. What a douche. I don't like him either. Trust me. I'm not too fucking thrilled with him either. That's funny. Yeah, no, I definitely was like, okay, is this what your life is going to be? Is this what you want out of your life? Do you know what I mean? Like, it was a real, all right, dog, this is a change of pace, so take a breath and think about it.
Get ready for fucking curveballs.
Nah, man. It's that yin and yang kind of shit. I used to think all that support, like, I was just talking to Mondo about that, like, fucking, I always thought all that support, like, made people weak. You know what I mean? It was like, you just have cousins that will help. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have a phone full of people obligated to give a shit. Like, you're fucking whack. You've never really lived in all that fucking ridiculous shit. Which, there is some truth in that, character-wise.
Yeah.
But overall, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's absolute nonsense. I get the same thing. I went on rants about that because Joe has that. Joe Rogan has that position about, like, hardship. How, like, all the really successful, interesting people you've ever met, like, had really, really difficult upbringing. And it's like, dude, you're talking about, like, a fringe group of people. Because most of the people that had the upbringings of your friends are fucked up. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not, you're talking about really, really extremely fucking cool people. You know what I mean? Like, just, it's bad advice, though. Because I think young people are going to hear that and, like, go through trouble. You know what I mean? I heard fucking Miley Cyrus quote back in the day, and I heard girls in the office talking about it just the way I hoped they wouldn't. And her quote was talking about, like, you know, be in your 20s, fuck up, make mistakes, da-da-da-da. And I was like, the truth of the matter is that's when you fuck up. That's when you make your mistakes. But is it smart to tell kids to go ahead and do that, to, like, plan out destruction so you can find yourself in the chaos? It's like, you guys are really artful about life. Do you know what I mean? Like, art in life is something, but you're, like, being artful about, like, actual mechanics of living and, like, telling kids, like, go ahead and fuck up. Because what happens is kids think
It makes them sound naive.
Well, it makes them sound super naive, but it makes the kids that listen to that and go, yeah, you know what? I'm in college. I'm just going to fucking sleep around. I'm going to drink. I'm going to do that. These are the years to get this out. In my mind, it's like they fuck up because they have no life experience and they don't know what they think is true in their head, which is, well, when I'm 25, I can just stop. It's like, bro, by the time you're 25, you're locked in the game. Your habits, your behaviors, these things are part of your life now. There's no just, okay, now I need to get it together. Bam! Now I'm back to square one. It's like, that's not how this works. I think there's danger in that advice. Like this, when you're young, go crazy, take risks. Like, I get that when it comes to like business. There's aspects where that advice makes a lot of sense, but I think people, young people, take that advice and apply it to other shit. And they're like, see? Like, no, that's not what that meant, man. That's a terrible idea. I don't know. I get worried for the youth. And you know why I'm like this today? Because I had my fucking phone out today. I did go on a little run, a little YouTube, little thing. Saw some, what was his name? Fucking Michael Knowles. He was like talking. He's one of those Ben Shapiro kids.
Yeah.
I actually like him a lot. He's kind of funny. Yeah, I just wanted to hit, like, just clip after clip of him at some fucking university talking to kids.
I saw some TikTok of Andrew Schultz, like, shitting on Ben Shapiro.
Schultzy?
Yeah.
He's a funny kid.
I'll show you afterwards, but yeah, I thought it was funny. But that's going to do it.
Got one in.
Yeah.
No fucking Brian, fucking punk-ass Brian.
Woo-woo!
Oh, he does that every time. I heart the Cooney family. I hope the Bills fucking won.
Ugh. I doubt there will be one next week. We went out for my birthday, and I plan on
not editing for your birthday.
Not being able to get out of bed for a day.
It's nice when you can plan that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll catch you all next time.
Bye.
Peace.